The content of this program is intended for people who are blind, have low vision, or print disabilities. Hello, I'm Doris Hyde for the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be presenting the latest vision news. Today's Vision News is underwritten by the Apex Lions Club, serving the community since 1937 by providing services and financial support for people who are blind, have low vision, or print disabilities. To learn more about the services provided by the Apex Lions Club, go to apexlions.org. First up, from the National Organization of Parents of Blind Children, NOPBC, Carol Castellano posts that the NOPBC is seeking recipes from our blind and LV kids. We are publishing another kid-friendly cookbook. This one will include cooking how-tos and recipes from blind chef Jerry Lynn Higgins. Please send recipes to Carol Castellano at blindchildren@verizon.net by October 15th. That is Carol Castellano at blindchildren@verizon.net. From righthere.com, spelled righthear.com, there is a demo online about how their app works. How it works, Right Here's solution works both indoors and outdoors. It's supportive of any industry, sector, or size of venue, from a safari park to a university campus to a hotel to a local eatery and everything in between. It's easy for businesses to install, easy to program, and even easier to use. There's a button to learn more. Make your venue accessible with Right Here. Partnering with Right Here helps your business create an accessible and inclusive environment for customers and employees. Expand market share and customer reach. Develop your corporate social responsibility. Comply with accessibility and inclusion guidelines and policies. Improve brand image and promotional opportunities. Trusted by brands all over the world, partnership testimonials, and more on their website. From m-enabling.com, join us for the 12th annual M-Enabling Summit. Engage with colleagues and trendsetters in digital accessibility and inclusion. Gain insights on the latest trends and be part of the global discussion on building an inclusive digital world for persons with disabilities. With the theme, Transformations, Disruptions, and Opportunities for Digital Accessibility, the three-day 2024 in-person summit will feature a hybrid track, general and breakout sessions, interactive roundtables and workshops, panel discussions, open dialogue with innovators and disruptors in digital inclusion, accessibility chat interviews, and a cognitive sprint forum. The summit will host premium networking and educational opportunities with a keen focus on leaders and practitioners engaging in accessible technologies and environments from around the globe. Join the International Association of Accessibility Professionals, IAAP, a division of G3ICT, on the third day of the summit for their annual Thought Leadership Expert Forum on Integrating Accessibility into Organizational Maturity. The 2024 M-Enabling Summit will be October 15th through 17th in Washington, D.C. There is a hot link to register for the conference. Key topics include Closing the Web Accessibility Global Gap, Thinking Out of the Box, AI Policies and Standards for Persons with Disabilities, Scaling Up Accessibility in the Enterprise, How AI and Automation Transform the Role of Accessibility Professionals, Automation and Overlays, Setting the Rules to Do No Harm, Accessibility for Emergency Preparedness, Leveraging AI Accessibility Tools for Developers, Inclusive Gaming at the Forefront of Accessibility Innovation, Usability and Accessibility for Older Persons, Inclusive Design for Consumer Products, AI Solutions for Cognitive Disabilities, Managing Accessibility with Metrics and Maturity Models, Accessible Travel and Tourism, Bridging Professional Education and Accessibility Academic Studies, Accessibility in the Procurement Process, Making the Metaverse, XR, VR, and AR Accessible, Latest in the U.S. Legal and Regulatory Landscape, Preparing for the Transposition of the European Accessibility Act into National Legislations. From fightingblindness.org, AAV Antgard, that's AAVANTGARDE, Bio's dual vector USH1B gene therapy moves into phase 1/2 clinical trial. Avantgarde Bio, a gene therapy development company based in Italy, has dosed the first patient in its phase 1-2 retinal gene therapy clinical trial for people with Usher syndrome type 1B, USH1B, which is caused by mutations in the gene MYO7A. Known as LUCE-1, the trial is taking place at the University Hospital of Campania Luigi Vanvitelli in Naples, Italy, with Professor Francesca Simonelli serving as lead investigator. Two additional sites for the phase 1-2 trial in the UK will be announced. The company plans to launch sites in the US if the emerging gene therapy moves into a pivotal phase 3 trial. 15 patients ranging from 18 to 50 years of age will be enrolled in the phase 1-2 trial. 3 doses of the USH1B gene therapy will be evaluated. Known as AAVB-081, the gene therapy is the first clinical application of a dual-vector gene delivery system for a retinal disease. AAVB-081 uses an adeno-associated virus, AAV, which works like a vast container system to deliver healthy copies of the MYO7A gene into retinal cells. Because the MYO7A gene is too large for a single AAV container, the gene is split into 2 halves and delivered in 2 containers. Once in the cell, the halves are recombined. The one-time treatment is contained in a tiny drop of liquid that is injected underneath the retina. The dual AAV technology for large gene delivery comes from the research of Professor Alberto Auricchio, that's A-U-R-I-C-C-H-I-O, at TIGEM, T-I-G-E-M, an international research institute based in Naples that is owned and managed by the Telethon Foundation. Avantgarde is a spinoff of TIGEM and has an exclusive license for the AAV dual technology for inherited retinal diseases. Usher syndrome type 1 is the most severe type of Usher syndrome. USH1B, caused by mutations in MYO7A, is the most common cause of USH1. Children with Usher syndrome type 1B are born with profound hearing loss and begin experiencing progressive vision loss from retinitis pigmentosa before puberty. They also have issues with balance. Avantgarde says that approximately 20,000 people in the U.S. and EU have USH1B. Avantgarde is also developing a gene therapy for Stargardt disease caused by mutations in ABCA4. For more information about the USH1B gene therapy clinical trial, send a note to info@aavantgarde.com. Also from fightingblindness.org, Foundation Fighting Blindness hosts Chicago Night for Sight event, Dateline, Columbia, Maryland, September 16th. The Foundation Fighting Blindness, the driving force in the global development of treatments and cures for blinding diseases, presents the Chicago Night for Sight event on Saturday, October 5th, 2024 at the Ritz-Carlton, Chicago. This event will raise crucial funds for advancing groundbreaking research of treatments and cures for retinal diseases such as retinitis pigmentosa, Usher syndrome, Stargardt disease, Leber congenital amaurosis, and age-related macular degeneration, which collectively affect millions of people worldwide. Dinner co-chairs Julie and Brad Ellis will lead the evening, bringing together corporate sponsors, community members, and supporters dedicated to ending blinding diseases. Guests will enjoy a gourmet dinner and exciting silent auction featuring exclusive items and live entertainment by world-renowned magician and mentalist Wes Matheson. Since its inception in 1971, the Foundation Fighting Blindness has raised over $915 million to support blinding disease research. These funds have enabled the foundation to continue advancing its urgent mission of driving the research that will provide preventions, treatments, and cures for people affected by retinitis pigmentosa, Usher syndrome, Stargardt disease, Leber congenital amaurosis, age-related macular degeneration, and the spectrum of retinal degenerative diseases. Vision science is at a pivotal moment. More than 48 potential treatments are currently in clinical trials, offering hope to millions affected by vision loss. However, much work remains to bring these treatments to those who need them most. Thanks to the promising research funded by the Foundation Fighting Blindness, we have hope that there will be a cure for our son who is affected by Usher syndrome, said co-chair Julie Ellis. As a parent of a child impacted by a blinding disease, I'm thrilled to have an organization the caliber of the Foundation Fighting Blindness on the front lines, driving progress toward sight-saving treatments, said Jamie Cutler, Chicago Night for Sight committee member. The Night for Sight event is going to be a true celebration of all the advancements in the field and of all the people who provide the support to make them possible. Sponsorship opportunities are available at various levels, ranging from $1,000 to $50,000, with packages offering recognition, VIP seating, and special opportunities for brand exposure. Individual tickets are $400. Visit give.fightingblindness.org/ChicagoNightForSight or contact Katie Van Benschoten, that's Benschoten, at kvanbenschoten@fightingblindness.org or 212-961-6881 for tickets or sponsorship. About the Foundation Fighting Blindness. Established in 1971, the Foundation Fighting Blindness is the world's leading private funding source for retinal degenerative disease research. The foundation has raised more than $915 million toward its mission of accelerating research for preventing, treating, and curing blindness caused by the spectrum of blinding retinal diseases, including retinitis pigmentosa, macular degeneration, and Usher syndrome. Visit fightingblindness.org for more information. Media contact Katie Van Benschoten. kvanbenschoten@fightingblindness.org, 212-961-6881. From nfb.org, Future Reflections, Volume 43, Number 3, Summer 2024, a magazine for parents and teachers of blind children published by the American Action Fund for Blind Children and Adults, in partnership with the National Organization of Parents of Blind Children. Deborah Kent Stein, editor. Copyright 2024 American Action Fund for Blind Children and Adults. For more information about blindness and children, contact National Organization of Parents of Blind Children, 200 East Wells Street at Jernigan Place, Baltimore, Maryland, 21230. Call 410-659-9314 or visit the website at https://nfb.org/NOPBC. Contents, Teaching and Learning, Benefits of Orientation and Mobility by Mary Noel Chamberlain. From the editor, Mary Noel Chamberlain is an Orientation and Mobility, O&M, instructor based in Nebraska. Her latest book, Structured Discovery, Cane Travel Approach to Orientation and Mobility Concepts, is available on Amazon.com. Ask virtually any newly blind or visually impaired person what's the most difficult thing to deal with, and the response is nearly always the same, the loss of independence. The cornerstone of independence for most people is the ability to get around, to travel to work, school, the grocery store, or anywhere else they want to go without relying on someone else. Iowa Department of the Blind, Opening Doors to Opportunity, ND brochure. The public often has the belief expressed in the brochure quoted above that blindness is synonymous with loss of independence. However, this loss does not need to be the case, provided the blind individual receives orientation and mobility, O&M, training. Parents and educators alike sometimes question the benefits of O&M for students. With O&M training, the average blind student will be able to walk about independently and take a bus, taxi, train, or plane with the long white cane as their mobility tool. For individuals who are blind, the long white cane is a symbol of independence and competence. Before we move forward, we need to identify the terms orientation and mobility. According to Sarid, S-A-R-I-D, 2012, orientation involves two related concepts. One, mental mapping, knowledge of one's specific location relative to the world, i.e. positioning and awareness. And two, awareness knowledge that dictates a direction leading to a targeted or desired destination. Jacobson, 1993, states that mobility is the ability to facilitate any means of movement, for instance, walking, crawling, scooting, or using aids such as wheelchairs or crutches. Basically, orientation is having the ability to form a mental map of the current environment, while mobility is the ability to maneuver efficiently, safely, and successfully from one location to another, targeted location. Pogrund and Griffin-Shirley, 2018. Orientation and mobility is considered a related service for all students with visual impairments from birth through 21 years of age. Instructors of O&M help students develop mental mapping skills, whereby they can develop a comprehension of where they are and where their targeted location is within a myriad of environments. For infants who may not be walking yet, O&M instructors begin by giving them infant-sized canes to play with. Through play or exploration, infants will learn that the cane can provide auditory and tactile information. As they grow, O&M instructors help them maneuver about by using the long white cane as their primary mobility tool. Movement is vitally important. It increases blood flow to the brain, whereby precious nutrients enable the brain to complete its job. McGregor, 2021. As the toddler maneuvers about with the cane, their self-confidence and sense of well-being increase. O&M skills enable children to safely explore and interact with the world, including the home, school, and community. TSBVI and PPAG, ND, paragraph 4. Structured discovery, cane travel. O&M instructors using structured discovery create lessons by utilizing individualized, student-centered experiences within the student's environment. Keep in mind that student-centered learning is an instructional method that focuses on each student's interests, making the lessons more impactful and meaningful. Therefore, student-centered learning increases the student's attention and knowledge retention. Orientation and mobility skills help reduce isolation by promoting skills that will help students interact with others, for instance, family, friends, teachers, future employers. TSBVI and PPND. This meaningful instruction is transformational, extending from the lesson setting to real-life situations. As the student's O&M skills develop, often their O&M instructors will introduce them to unfamiliar environments. In this way, instructors help students build their problem-solving skills. If students can independently problem-solve when their instructors are around, they surely will be able to problem-solve when instructors are not present. Developing a problem-solving skills enables students to travel independently. Some O&M instructors encourage students to receive instruction while wearing sleep shades, also known as learning shades. Sleep shade instruction is not intended to help students adjust to possible decreased vision. Rather, it is used to help students develop the self-confidence to travel independently regardless of lighting conditions. If a student depends on their limited, unreliable vision in well-lighted environments, that student may be rendered helpless in conditions with low lighting, such as darkened rooms, for instance during classroom educational films or in movie theaters, shaded areas, for instance tree shade, building shade, in the evening, dusk, or after nightfall. Since the activities and lessons used for O&M instruction are individualized and hands-on, there is no set guideline or curriculum that fits every student. Here is a short list of concepts that students may focus on during O&M instruction. Auditory awareness and sensory awareness, body coordination, cardinal directions, even and odd numbers, indoor mobility, left and right, neighborhood mobility, olfactory and tactile awareness, problem-solving, spatial awareness. O&M helps students interact with the public. As mentioned in the previous section, orientation and mobility reduces isolation by promoting skills that will help students interact with others, family, friends, teachers, and future employers. TSBVI and PPAG, ND. Many students with visual impairments struggle to initiate contact with the public for assistance or to meet people who could become friends or acquaintances. At the same time, the public may not know how to initiate contact with a person who is blind or has low vision. When students are working on their O&M skills, they have many opportunities to interact with the public. O&M instructors help students overcome their fears of initiating contact with the public or responding to others who initiate conversations with them. Older students quickly learn that they are the instructors when it comes to educating the public about blindness. This realization occurs when students realize that members of the public observe them completing a task, for instance, folding bills received from the cashier or pulling a grocery cart at the supermarket. When members of the public actually ask questions, for instance, "What's that stick?" When they use an opportunity to educate someone simply by offering a solution. For instance, when you see me enter the cafeteria, will you call out to me so I can find you and we can sit together? Tips for making a friend who is blind. LEFEW, L-E-F-F-E-W, 2021, encourages people to announce themselves when approaching a friend who is blind. This announcement can simply be, "Hi, Mickey, it's Minnie," or, "Hey, Lewis, it's Clark from Social Studies." Students may need to inform their friends to do this until their voices are recognizable. Some members of the public think it's fun to go up to a blind person and ask, "Do you know who this is?" However, most students find this rather annoying. Simply put, this type of questioning holds two components. It places the student on the spot and in fear of not recognizing the voice and upsetting the person. It boosts the ego of the person asking the question when or if he or she is recognized. O&M teaches independent shopping. O&M training places students in real-life situations that may involve interacting with customer service. This experience helps demonstrate to the public that blind individuals can, in fact, shop for their own groceries. Older O&M students may receive training at local shops such as Walgreens or Target. Students learn to access customer service to help locate their desired items. At first, the O&M instructor will role model what the student can expect from the customer service assistant. Then the student will actually utilize a customer service staff member rather than a paid assistant. This experience helps the student become independent shopper as an adult. Students become teachers when they work with customer service assistants. Keep in mind that customer service assistance is a free service. Therefore, blind individuals need not pay for a reader or assistant to accompany them. It is recommended that individuals needing customer service assistance avoid shopping during peak hours. After training, students can help their families with grocery shopping. They may also shop independently for gifts, birthday cards, clothing, or electronics. The possibilities are endless. My daughter is blind, and after she learned shopping skills, sometimes we divided the grocery list to get our shopping done more quickly. As she got older, we would drop our daughter off at the door of the supermarket, and she would do her own shopping. In O&M training, students learn the following steps. Enter the store, locate a grocery cart if needed, pull the cart to customer service. Pushing a cart while using a cane is impractical. Ask for assistance. Either hand the assistant a printed grocery list or have a Braille or electronic version of the list to read to the assistant. Instruct the assistant to pull the cart, followed by holding on to the cart, handle, and carrying the cane. Examine each item found by the assistant and place it in the cart. This ensures that the right item is being purchased, gives the student the opportunity to mark the item, and/or helps with later identification. Complete the shopping. Go to checkout. Thank the assistant for help and let them go. Remove all items from the cart and place them on the belt. Make sure all the items are out of the cart. Pay for the items. Count the bags or do so as they are placed in the cart. Double-check with the cashier that all bags are in the cart and double-check the number of bags. Pull the cart out of the store. O&M teaches money identification. O&M training places students in real-life situations that sometimes involve interacting with cashiers. In this way, blind individuals have a chance to demonstrate to the public that they can identify currency independently. Identification of currency need not be complicated. Blind people have used simple tricks to identify coins and paper money for years. Coins can easily be distinguished by their size, thickness, and edges. Dimes are the smallest U.S. coins, and they have rough edges. Pennies are slightly larger than dimes and have smooth edges. The next largest coin is the nickel. It also has a smooth edge, but it is thicker than the penny. Finally, the quarter is the largest coin, and it has rough edges. Some people may have trouble feeling the rough edge with their finger. A fingernail may be used to scratch the edge of the coin and help determine whether the coin has a rough edge or a smooth one. Paper money. There is no standard way for blind people to fold and organize paper money. Although one system is recommended here, students can develop the methods that suit them best. On the other hand, students may like this technique of money identification, and it is perfectly okay for them to use it. For $1 bills, fold in half. For $5 bills, fold in half and in half again, creating a fat five. For $10 bills, fold in half and in half the long way, creating a thin ten. For $20 bills, fold in half and then in half corner to corner, creating a triangle 20. For $50 bills, place in a separate compartment of the wallet. Other notes. When at the bank of grocery store, fold money before leaving the counter. When handing money to another blind person, unfold the bill, state what it is, and hand it to the other person, letting them fold it using their own method. References: Jacobson, W.H., 1993, The Art and Science of Teaching Orientation and Mobility to Persons with Visual Impairments, New York, New York, American Foundation for the Blind. McGregor, G., 2021, How to Exercise Affects the Brain, retrieved from https://lifesciences.byu.edu/how-exercise-affects-your-brain. Pogrund, R. L., and Griffin Shirley, N., 2018, Partners in O&M, Supporting Orientation and Mobility for Students Who Are Visually Impaired, New York, New York, American Foundation for the Blind Press. Sarid A., 2012, Between Thick and Thin, Responding to the Crisis of Moral Education, Journal of Moral Education, 41, 245 through 260. TSBVI, PPAG, ND, Benefits of Orientation and Mobility, retrieved from https://www.tsbvi.edu/wp-content/uploads/assets/documents/statewide-resources/om-benefits.pdf. One more article from fightingblindness.org. Foundation Fighting Blindness expands giving opportunities with enhanced financial institution access for donor-advised funds, stock donations, and cryptocurrency. Dateline September 28th, Columbia, Maryland. The Foundation Fighting Blindness, the driving force in the global development of treatments and cures for blinding diseases, is proud to announce the expansion of its giving platforms. In partnership with the Giving Block, the Foundation has broadened access to donor-advised funds, DAFs, and stock donations, while also introducing cryptocurrency as a new donation option. This expanded offering enables the Foundation to reach new donors globally, providing supporters with more convenient ways to contribute to cutting-edge research for blinding retinal diseases. Expanded giving opportunities for DAFs and stock donations. Through its partnership with the Giving Block, the Foundation Fighting Blindness has made it easier than ever for supporters to contribute via donor-advised funds and stock donations. The new donation widget allows donors to quickly and securely connect their accounts to make a gift, offering a convenient and tax-efficient way to contribute to the Foundation's mission. These expanded giving opportunities are crucial in advancing research into treatments and cures for retinal diseases. We're thrilled to provide more accessible ways for our donors to give. Cryptocurrency donations. In addition to DAFs and stock donations, the Foundation is embracing the future of philanthropy by accepting cryptocurrency donations. Donors can now make contributions through fightingblindness.org using a wide array of digital currencies, including Bitcoin, Ethereum, USD Coin, and more. With cryptocurrency classified as property by the IRS, donors may also benefit from tax advantages such as exemption from capital gains taxes and potential tax deductions. Partnering with Giving Block. The Foundation Fighting Blindness has partnered with the Giving Block, and I've run out of time for this week's episode of Vision News. I'm Doris Hyde reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Today's episode was underwritten by the Apex Lions Club, serving the community since 1937 by providing services and financial support for people who are blind, have low vision, or print disabilities. To learn more about the services provided by the Apex Lions Club, go to apexlions.org. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind, have low vision, or print disabilities. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Call 919-832-7000.